Hello and welcome to Illinois Radio Reader. Today is Wednesday, May 20, 2015. Starting out today with reading the Decatur Herald Review. This is Matthew. University communities decry proposed Amtrak reductions. Springfield. Mayors of Illinois university towns decried Governor Bruce Rauner's proposal to cut state funding for Amtrak on Tuesday, telling state lawmakers their communities have made significant investments in stations and downtown infrastructure related to passenger rail service. At a hearing of the Senate Higher Education Committee, a parade of mayors, university officials, and community development experts said Amtrak is a key component in recruiting students and bringing economic development to college towns such as Normal, Carbondale, and Champaign-Urbana. Normal Mayor Chris Coos said the millions of dollars in public and private investment in Uptown Normal were based on the promise of expansion of Amtrak service to the community. The governor's proposed disinvestment in Amtrak will negatively affect the business owners and developers in Uptown Normal who trusted the promise of enhanced passenger rail service, Coos said. Illinois State University President Larry Dietz said more than 55% of the university's student body comes from Chicago and its suburbs, many of whom ride the four state subsidized trains to and from school. He said the university and the town of Normal have worked together to make Amtrak a key part of the community. We're really linked to the hip in terms of economic development and service and convenience for our students, Dietz said. Southern Illinois University officials also say Amtrak provides an important link for students and employees, with two state-supported trains running between Chicago and the Carbondale campus, in addition to the federally funded City of New Orleans train. It's a very important recruiting tool. The proposed cut would be very hurtful and very harmful, said John Charles, Executive Director for Government and Public Affairs at SIU. The outcry comes in response to Rauner's budget proposal, which would reduce state funding for Amtrak to $26 million, down from its current $42 million annually. The 40% reduction will mean fewer state-subsidized trains operating between Chicago and St. Louis, Quincy, and Carbondale at a time when ridership has been on the rise. Neither Amtrak or the state has identified which trains might be eliminated in the fiscal year beginning July 1. Lieutenant Governor speaks at Coles Together meeting. Charleston. Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti told members of Coles County's Economic Development Organization Tuesday that part of her job is to promote a business environment to help Illinois out of tough economic times. Sanguinetti was the main speaker during the annual meeting for Coles Together, and she said the administration of Governor Bruce Rauner wants to use reforms and contact with locals to achieve that goal. It's a different model, she said. We have different leadership. She said projects she's taking on as lieutenant governor include overseeing a transition of state agencies to ensure subject matter knowledge for those agencies' leaders. She's also leading a task force that's looking at unfunded mandates and how to reduce the number of individual units of government in Illinois. She also noted complaints that downstate Illinois is sometimes forgotten or downright deleted when it comes to consideration by state government. We will remain in contact with you to see what your problems are, Sanguinetti said. She said Rauner wants to address workers' compensation reform and called it the primary reason businesses are leaving. Injured workers will get redress, but abuse needs to be reduced, she said. Sanguinetti also noted a local initiative by Coles Together to help ensure a trained workforce. She said she often hears from businesses that jobs are available, but they have to look outside the state to fill them. We don't want to see those opportunities leaving the state of Illinois, she said. Following Sanguinetti's remarks, Coles Together President Angela Griffin called them exactly what we wanted to hear. We're looking forward to those conversations, she said. During her own address, Griffin said she invited Sanguinetti to the meeting so the lieutenant governor could see the strong record of success in Coles County. The state's financial situation can make economic development efforts unpredictable, but a public-private partnership could be a way to address those issues, Griffin also said. Lunch money theft by school official alleged in Warrensburg, Decatur. A Warrensburg Latham School District administrator has been arrested after allegedly stealing thousands of dollars from the school's lunch account. Lori Babb, 51, was arrested Monday morning after school administrators had noticed a discrepancy with the amount of money being brought in by students for lunch and money that was actually deposited into the bank. An investigation into the past 3 years revealed a total of $26,797.76 missing from the school's lunch account. Babb, as the school's food service director, oversaw money that came into the school district through the lunch program. She also was in charge of making sure bank deposits on lunch funds matched what the district records and was the only employee given the responsibility to make bank deposits with the funds from the lunch program, according to a sworn statement from the Macon County Sheriff's Office. The statement noted the issue was first noticed last month by the school's business manager, who handles all the account books. When administrators monitored a computer program that documents the money received from students and their guardians, it showed the school received $4,742 over the week of April 20. However, the bank deposit showed that only $4,337 was deposited that same week into the lunch account. A look at the entire 2014-2015 school year revealed that the school district received $233,989.14 from students and their guardians, yet only $224,973.08 was deposited into the bank account. When approached by administrators about the discrepancy, the statement said Babb had no explanation. She was placed on suspension with pay May 8, according to a letter sent from Warrensburg Latham Superintendent Kristen Kendrick Weichel. The sheriff's office was contacted May 7, with officers reaching out to other employees who also handled money the district received from students for their lunches. However, the statement said that even if others were involved in the theft, Babb was still in the position to catch the discrepancy before the money was deposited into the bank. When contacted by the detective, Babb declined to comment on the advice of her attorney. Babb, who has been released on $20,000 bond, has no prior record. Parolee accused of several Walmart thefts. Decatur. Brian K. Ramsey, a 47-year-old parolee who has served 21 prison terms, is jailed on $120,000 bond after he was charged with stealing several large items from Walmart, selling a man a Phantom TV, and running off without paying a taxi fare. Ramsey, who was released from prison July 3, was arrested May 13 in connection with 5 incidents. He was arraigned Tuesday on 5 felony counts, 3 of burglary, and 1 each of theft by deception and theft of services. At 1:10 p.m., April 10, Ramsey was dropped off from a white sedan at Walmart, 4224 North Prospect Drive. He entered the store, picked up a lawn trimmer, placed it in a cart, and left the store. The sedan pulled up in front of the store. He threw the trimmer in the sedan, jumped into the vehicle, which sped off, said an affidavit by Decatur patrol officer. At 1:55 p.m., 3 days later, Ramsey was dropped off from a pickup truck at the same store. He entered the store, placed a grill priced at $192 in a cart, and left the store. The truck pulled up in front of the store. He threw the grill in the bed, jumped into the vehicle, which drove away. At 4:20 p.m., May 13, Ramsey returned to the Walmart, where he picked up a window air conditioner, placed it in a cart, and headed for the exit. A store security officer recognized Ramsey from evidence developed during the previous incidents. He followed Ramsey as he headed toward the exit with the appliance. The officer called Ramsey by his first name while confronting him about the unpaid merchandise, the affidavit said. Ramsey abandoned the air conditioner and quickly exited the store. A vehicle then pulled up. Ramsey entered it and headed out of the parking lot. At the time of his arrest on May 13, Ramsey was wanted by police in connection with the other crimes. A 29-year-old man told police he gave Ramsey $150 on April 23 in exchange for a TV set. Instead of the man receiving a TV, he could subsequently not locate Ramsey despite many attempts to contact him. On April 27, a Decatur City taxi driver told police he drove Ramsey to several locations on that date. After he rang up a fare of $32.50, he got out of the cab on North Maple Street and walked away without paying, the driver said. Ramsey is due in court June 12. Career criminal busted in elaborate theft of DVD players, Decatur. Decatur police and loss prevention officers from Walmart used video surveillance to hunt down a sophisticated shoplifter who had walked out of a store with more than $1,200 worth of DVD players. Sworn police statements say Charles Miller, 51, was found working an inventory reduction sale Saturday when the Macon County Fairgrounds, and was recognized from pictures pulled from video surveillance. He was arrested and allegedly broke down and confessed to patrol officer Michael Claypool. Charles was upset and said he suffered from a heroin addiction, said Claypool in his statement. Charles made an unsolicited statement that he had stolen the items to pay for his addiction. Loss prevention officers at the Walmart store at 4224 North Prospect Drive had become suspicious a crime had been committed on Thursday when a child's buggy was found dumped in the bicycle aisle without its box packaging. Surveillance video was reviewed and it allegedly showed a man matching Miller's description entering the store earlier Thursday and later cutting the buggy out of its cardboard box, leaving the empty box in the bicycle aisle. Miller proceeds to make several trips to the electronics section and returns to the buggy box, eventually filling it with 15 DVD players. Police say the surveillance tapes then show Miller, who was from North Carolina, sealing the box with a roll of tape he had also taken from a display in the store before heading to the checkout. He then passes through a checkout lane and pays $54.36 for the buggy box, said Claypool in his statement. He does not pay for the concealed DVD players. Claypool said a Walmart loss prevention officer went along to the sale at the fairgrounds because he knows through his job training and experience that Walmart stolen merchandise often is sold at these events, as well as flea markets. Miller was there manning a booth selling electronics with another man who was also seen meeting Miller as he left the store. The second man denied knowing of the theft. He later took police to a parked trailer at a Decatur motel where the buggy box, still packed with DVD players, was recovered. Police say Miller is a career criminal with a long history covering multiple crimes in 8 states and a list of 17 aliases on his record. He remained in the Macon County Jail on Monday night, where he is being held without bond. Franklin L. Small, guilty of attempting to murder a woman at work. Decatur. After listening to testimony by Franklin L. Small, in which he denied responsibility for a life-threatening stab wounds and stomping wounds to the face of a woman during an attack at her workplace, Circuit Judge Timothy Stedman convicted him of attempted first-degree murder and aggravated domestic battery. Small, 34, who is being held in jail without bond, will be sentenced July 9, with guidelines between 6 and 30 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. The incident for which he was convicted at the bench trial Tuesday occurred in Decatur on June 17. Before pronouncing the verdict, Stedman said Small had no business being at her workplace for any reason because he had been served with a no trespass order for that address. If the defendant was acting in self-defense, why did he lead police on a high-speed chase? Stedman said. The court finds the defendant's version of offense is not credible. Moreover, Stedman said he found that the victim's testimony was credible. She was trying to fend him off and not get her throat slashed, Stedman said, adding that she received a laceration on her chin instead. At that point, his intent was to kill her beyond a reasonable doubt. In her closing argument, Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Mary Cole summarized the evidence against Small. The DNA evidence indicating the defendant had her blood on his shoes was consistent with stomping her on the head while she lay on the floor, Cole said. When Small entered the office through a window and pursued her, he said, "I will expletive kill you," Cole said. As he stomped her on the head, he said, "Take your last breath." The fact that he retrieved a knife from his car before the attack showed intent to kill, she said. The multiple serious cuts to her head and body from a hunting knife also showed his intent. After he tried to slit her throat from behind, instead cutting her chin and finger, she spurted blood, Cole said. That made him believe he had succeeded in inflicting a fatal wound. What stopped the attack here? Cole asked. The only thing ending the attack was the defendant believed the victim was dead because she played dead on the floor. She testified that she forced herself to keep her hands down, not protecting her face as he stomped on her. Small testified Tuesday morning that the woman threatened him with a pocket knife. They tussled over it. He headbutted or punched her. She fell backward, breaking out a window in the door and dropping the knife. Bad time to give new Illinois president double trouble. Responsibility equals accountability equals ownership, and a sense of ownership is the most powerful weapon a team can have. Champaign. That was a quote University of Illinois head women's basketball coach Matt Bullant shared Tuesday morning on Twitter. It's attributed to former Tennessee women's coach Pat Summitt, but the words responsibility and accountability seem particularly significant now that Boland has been accused by three former players of running a program gone afoul. Letters from the players' families to the president and chancellor of the university and shared with the media allege that Boland and former associate coach Mike DeVilbiss verbally and emotionally abused players, mistreated injuries, and used racial stereotypes as a communication tool. Are the accusations true? We don't know. The university has already explored these charges internally, interviewing 20 individuals, including current and former players, and concluded that no rules, university policies, or NCAA bylaws were broken. But Monday's news that DeVilbiss is no longer employed is an indication that the investigation felt changes were in order. The university also said they continue to look into one of the injuries and how it was handled. The matter comes 1 week after former Illini football player Simon Jovanovic accused head football coach Tim Beckman of mistreatment. Those charges, plus some additional allegations brought by other former players, are now the subject of an investigation being handled by Chicago law firm Franzik Radelet. One of these cases is one too many. Two of them are alarming, and I say that, understanding these coaches deserve to have a full opportunity to defend themselves and offer any and every explanation. But here's where it gets dicey. Timothy L. Colleen has just taken over as the 20th president of the University of Illinois. He's been handed a number of built-in challenges, including state budget cuts that could greatly reduce the university's operating revenue. What he doesn't need as he steps onto campus is a scandal in the football program, and what he really doesn't need is another one in the women's basketball program. If I'm director of athletics, Mike Thomas, I'm nervous. Even if every charge can be explained, and that seems unlikely given the DeVilbiss departures, there are coaches Thomas hired in a department he runs, mired in harsh accusations that bring widespread embarrassment to the university. Without a doubt, influential alums have already crawled inside Colleen's ear and asked a question many of you have been asking. What the hell is going on over there? Just because someone makes accusations doesn't mean the accused is guilty. But it means the environment was sour enough to have created a level of displeasure so severe it prompted disgruntled parties to come forward with those accusations. How did it get this far? Thus, Colleen's comments Tuesday to the Chicago Tribune editorial board that he will determine if the athletic department needs closer oversight. It's crazy, because on the one hand, we are witness to the greatest season of spring sports success in the history of the school. Big Ten conference championships have been won in men's golf, baseball, men's track and field, and men's tennis. More postseason successes, including the possibility of national championships, are very much alive. But can those truly be enjoyed? Not entirely. Not with two programs under siege. All it takes is for a new president who doesn't know Mike Thomas and who doesn't see a tradition worth preserving with Tim Beckman or Matt Boland to tell Chancellor Phyllis Wise to clean this mess up with a push broom. John Groce may be under fire for failing to find a point guard. Given what's happened in the past week and a half, that seems like a very small matter. Couple throw beans at each other in domestic dispute. Cold baked beans became a weapon when an estranged Decatur couple got into a row over child custody issues Sunday evening. Sworn police statements allege a discussion about those issues became heated after Rachel A. Hughes, 32, had visited her husband's home. At a point in the argument, Rachel, and then her husband, threw cold baked beans at each other, said a sworn statement from Decatur police officer Chad Reed. Rachel then retrieved a bowl of hot water from the microwave and threw the bowl at her husband's feet. The husband told the couple's 11-year-old child to call the police, which further enraged the child's mother. While the child was attempting to call 911 to report domestic violence occurring, Rachel grabbed the child in what was described as a headlock and attempted to take the phone, Reed said in his statement. Reed said he later spoke to the child and could see a quarter-sized bump on the rear left side of the child's head, behind the left ear. He said the child told him it happened during the parents' argument. Rachel advised that she tried to take the phone to prevent the child from calling police, Reed alleged. Police say the mother did finally leave the house but wasn't done with the argument. It is alleged she picked up a brick and threw it at her husband with the warning, "The next one goes through the window of your car," according to sworn statements. Reed said he could see a fresh impact mark next to the front door where the thrown brick had struck the house at what corresponded to chest height on the husband. Hughes was arrested Sunday night and jailed on charges of aggravated battery, domestic battery, and interfering with the reporting of domestic violence. Hughes was later released on $10,000 bail with the condition she no longer contact with her husband or her child, and she is also ordered to stay away from her husband's home. That concludes part one for the Decatur Herald Review for Wednesday, May 20, 2015. Please stay with us because we will return shortly.